Hello, everyone. There's a huge, I can almost hear an echo, that hole is so big there. Don't some people right on the periphery, don't you want to be brave and move in there? Who wants to do that? Like, maybe if you have kids and so on, it might be more difficult. So if you mobile, try and fill that space. I will feel a lot better. You'll be helping me. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. Thanks, guys. And now you meet new people. Win-win, okay. Thanks. And I don't have to stretch my neck. That's much better. Thank you. All right. It's so beautiful that the same words coming through again in worship that echoed last week, if you recall what happened last week when Carl preached here in that combined meeting we had, and he spoke about stepping out of the boat and basically about living in faith, not just faithfulness, but living in faith, stepping out in faith. And the thing that Lance mentioned now also, even as you hear me speak now, I know, you know, it was so cool. I always spoke about if you hear a truth and you're like, oh, I know, and that we almost switch off as we get a message that we think we know the answer to, or we think we know this truth. And because we know it, we kind of become, we think of ourselves as exempt from it, he said, which kind of struck me. You know, yes, I know I should always be patient and kind. But then when I'm not, yes, I know I should, so it's okay that I'm not. That doesn't make sense. But even I find myself doing that, you know. So even as I speak now, watch out for that. Yeah, I've heard these scriptures. They ring a bell. I know. But truth is always fresh. Truth is always fresh because it's true. It's real for us today. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke about actually how not to hear the Lord, if you recall. I spoke more about how not to hear him than actually how to hear him. And the key scripture was John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice and they follow. I want to continue along those lines. Last week, just a quick recap. I spoke about Jesus speaking to the disciples, quoting Isaiah, and he says, their hearts are hard, their ears cannot hear, and they can't hear because of sin. That if we live in sin, actually our hearts get hardened and calloused, and we cannot hear him. We cannot hear the Lord. You can even think that you're hearing him. Our prayers will not be heard. And it was quite a few people came and approached me afterwards during the week to say, is it really true, like, can God sometimes not hear us, in a sense? And his word says, I mean, all the scriptures, that in those situations, if we are in the world, if we calloused our hearts, and we still ask him for stuff, I'm not talking about repentance, but we just ask him for stuff, that actually, he says, his word says, I will not hear you, which was quite a hard message, and maybe some of us had to hear that, you know? And we spoke about that we want Jesus' help, but at the same time, we don't know if we want to really, really surrender to him. Remember that? That Spurgeon had this quote, we often treat Jesus the way Saul treated David in the Old Testament. We want him to slay our giants and remove evil spirits, but we don't want him to be our king. So if you missed that message from 2 weeks ago, this is a bit of a recap on that. And then we also spoke about the hope, the good side, that the one message God always hears is the prayer of repentance. The prayer boldly coming to him. We can always approach him boldly when we have a repentant heart. When we come with a posture of, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I'm a sinner, but I'm coming to you. No matter what you have done. I feel I need to emphasize that. No matter what you've done, you can come to him if you come to him with a repentant heart. Even in that scripture in Matthew 13:15, where Jesus says, their hearts are hardened. I said this last week. Their hearts are hardened, ears cannot hear, they cannot see. That's the scripture I quoted. But then verse 16 is there. And he speaks to his disciples directly. And he says, as being people that belong to Jesus, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So we are that. If you are here tonight, then you belong to Jesus. And you follow him and you surrender to him. As a disciple of him, he's saying that to you. Jesus is saying that to his disciples. So the previous script, the same sentence, he says, your hearts are hardened. You can't see, you can't hear. If you've calloused your heart, if you've turned your back, or if you're proud toward God, but blessed are you because you do see and do hear. And that's the hope. That's that good news. So through tonight, I'm probably going to drop quite a few different points. So I want to encourage you to ask, Lord, is this point for me? Does this little point, does it matter to me? Lord, Holy Spirit, can you convict me in the right places? And then hold on to that. And then I would love to give a ministry time. We'll see how it goes. But I'd love Lance to give us a ministry time towards the end where we can respond to that, if that's okay. So let's go for it and keep talking. So last week I spoke about how not to hear God. And tonight I want to speak about the voices we do hear. And firstly, I want to speak about the wrong voices. It's not the biggest part of the message, but the wrong voices. Firstly, we can listen to ourselves. And that can be a problem, because we often follow our own minds, but how often have you found that doesn't really work out so well? I've definitely found that in my life. And because we are fed by things that throw us off. We are fed by our own desires, things that have hurt us in the past. We are swayed by our own securities, our anxieties, our own logic, our own wisdom. No, I know better. I've read this. I've seen this post. Our own fears. We can be driven by wanting approval, and that makes us make a specific decision, or fear that we'll lose our approval from people. Follow our own hearts. But the Bible says very specifically, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, our hearts are super deceptive. In fact, the human heart is the most deceitful and desperately wicked. That's quite a big thing to say about something that's keeping you alive. You know, think about that. Like right now inside us, not just the physical muscle that pumps blood, but our hearts, desperately wicked, says the word. That's quite a big thing to follow. You know, the world is, now just follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you. What does your heart tell you? Do that. Every rom-com you've ever seen. What does your heart tell you? Follow your heart. You know, I don't know. The Bible says, no, the heart is deceptive. It will deceive you. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there's a way that appears to be right to man, but it ends in death. So if you follow your own thoughts, and you go, no, this really looks right to me, the Bible says that will end in death. It's quite direct stuff here. And then Proverbs 3, verse 5 says this so beautifully. It says, rather trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your deceitful heart, with all of your wicked heart. That same heart, do not depend on your own understanding. So we all have a good understanding, and he says, don't depend on that. Trust in the Lord. So we deceive ourselves. And sometimes we even use God's name to get what we want. And we try and make it sound godly. So we have a thought for ourselves, and we try and religiousize it somehow, churchify it. I've heard people say, well, I think I can do this thing because I've prayed and I have a peace about it. Because you have a peace about it in that sense doesn't mean that it's from God. There's a difference between having a real peace, a godly peace about a decision, or just ignoring, shutting down the lack of peace that you're actually feeling, but you're just pushing it away. No, I'm okay. I'm not freaking out. I'm okay. There's a difference. These inner voices, if it's from God, it will never be against Scripture. It will never be against Scripture. It will never be against His Word. It will never be against God's nature. It will never be something like, yes, I have a peace about getting divorced. Lord told me personally it's okay. People frown right now, but we've been in many situations where that is, people tell, like, no, no, I've prayed about this. The Spirit told me. And not just divorce, it could be other things, lying, other sins. We even convince or deceive ourselves that our own desires are scriptural. Okay, stay with me here. As an example, people will say, I can do what I want because God will never leave me or forsake me. He says that in Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I can just do something because he'll never leave me, right? It's in the Bible. I'm just hearing from the Lord here. Scripture's out of context. What it speaks about is that we can actually live more godly because he's always with us to give us the grace to live holy lives. I'm jumping quickly jumping through these scriptures because there's a lot of these points, but I want to tie it into scripture. A big thing, and this one sometimes challenges me, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Can we quickly look at that one, Janine? Do you have it? But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. So people use that scripture to say, God will never give me more than I can handle. That's what people say. I don't have to do this thing. I don't think God is asking me this hard thing to do because he will never give me more than I can handle, and I don't think I can handle this. But that's a lie. That's how we deceive ourselves, because if you don't tackle what you can't handle, you won't need faith for anything. You won't need faith. It's only if you think you can't handle it that you actually need faith. Otherwise, it's just staying in the boat. It's just staying in the boat. So a practical tip. When your own voice or temptation or something coming to you feels overwhelming, and I think it's definitely happened with me. Has it ever happened to you when you're in something or you're facing something or something is happening to you and it just feels overwhelming? You're like, I don't think I'm going to get through this. That feeling is lying to you. You're deceiving yourself. Because God's word, which cannot lie, says that that temptation is not greater than the grace he's given you. He's given you enough grace to get through it. So my next question is, are you out of that situation where you used to be? Think about a few years back. If you were overwhelmed, are you still being overwhelmed by that thing? No, yeah, you are. You broke through. God did have the grace for it. So we lie to ourselves. Thoughts that come into our mind, like self-pity, self-loathing, not liking ourselves, not being satisfied with ourselves, being too hard on ourselves. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I praise you, Lord, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what God thinks of you. We give ourselves false identities, but if you could only see what you are worth and what you look like through his eyes. Ephesians 1 verse 4 to 5. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. You have been chosen. You were chosen then already. And he knew all the bad things you were going to do. He chose you then already. That's who you are. 1 Peter 2 verse 8 to 9. So I'm just touching on how we can deceive ourselves. How we can think that we're not worthy. How we can think that we're not worth it. Okay, I'm a different translation. And the scriptures also say, he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that will make them fall. They stumble because they do not listen to God's word or obey it. And so they meet the fate that has been planned for them. But you, so that's referring to people that have hardened their heart. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a kingdom of priests. NIV says you are a royal priesthood. When else does somebody refer to you as a royal priest? You know? Here's Lisa. Meet Lisa. She is a royal priest. And you'll go, what? You know? Can you look to each other and just say, hello, you are a royal priest. Right now, whoever's next to you. Like, you are a royal priest. And it's not a joke. You are a royal priest. It's like, whoa, no ways. I didn't even know that about you. You know? You know your royalty. A holy nation. You get made holy because of Jesus. Because if you're in Jesus and God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Not because of what we've done, because of what he's done. Like, do we believe that? It's cool to tell it each other. And yeah, okay, I'll smile and laugh as I say it. But if we realize what he's really telling us, maybe, this is not part of this, but maybe in the week as you study the word again, read that part. At what God thinks about you, how he sees you. Okay, that's our own voices, because we don't tell ourselves that. Second, the voice of Satan, and it's loud, eh? It's sinister. Revelation 12 verse 9 says clearly, he is the great deceiver, the great dragon, ancient serpent, the one deceiving the whole world. The deceiver, he's so good at it, it's his name, okay? He sows doubt and confusion. In John 10:10 and Luke 22:31, it says his mission, should he choose to accept it, and he did, is steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. That's what he focuses on. When he flatters you, when he gives you, when he treats you, when he lures you, that's his goal: steal, kill, and destroy. 2 Corinthians 11 says he's an angel of darkness that masquerades. We can't tell the difference when we just see him. That masquerades as the angel of light. Angel of darkness. John 8:44, he is a liar and the father of lies. Stuff Satan does, he stirs panic. He creates an urgency sometimes in his messages to you. If you have to make a big decision, but suddenly there's a lot of pressure to do it quickly, be careful. Just a practical point. Just if it's a big decision, like a life decision, if there's an urgency to do it quickly, be careful. Speak to someone. Don't just go for it. I mean, I'm not telling you to do that. It's just what we've learned. If you feel confused about a decision, be careful. Talk to people. He also confuses and distorts our identity, what we think about ourselves, and he brings compromise. As an example, you all know what happened with Adam and Eve, right? How Eve was deceived. Ring a bell? Genesis? Okay. But Satan deceived Eve to doubt God's goodness. That's what he did. He didn't dangle a big prize. He just said, he made her think that God is withholding something good. And how often have we thought, Lord, why have you got me in this place? It could be so much better. You are withholding something good from me. But God is a loving father, and Eve thought that. Genesis 3, he uses God's word to cause sin. Satan often still uses scripture to let us sin or to make us stumble. He even tried it on Jesus. He pushed Jesus for quick change. If you look at those three temptations he gives Jesus, Jesus fasted, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert, fasted 40 days, 40 nights. And Satan comes to him and he pushes him for quick change. He says, quickly, turn this bread these stones into bread. You want a meal now. I mean, yes, he did want a meal. But just because your body is craving something doesn't mean it's godly. And Jesus just said, man does not live by bread alone. Interesting, he said man, and he's fully God. And he says, it is written, man does not live, because he was fully man at the time. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. And he questions Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of God, then do this. He challenges him. And Jesus responds with a word the whole time. It is written. That's how we can respond to him. It is written. We can hide behind that. Satan's voice, demonic voices, how do you identify them? They bring shame. They bring pride. They bring condemnation. They twist scripture. They bring confusion with urgency. So I'm just throwing in some practical points around these things. So if you are feeling something and you think, Lord, must I do this? Or you get an idea in your head, it can be for life. A good question to ask is, Lord, does this affirm my identity as a child of God? Does this thing, if I do this, if I believe this, does it affirm my identity as a child of God? Like if God disciplines us, after discipline, you feel closer. There's a restoration of relationship that affirms your identity. Or is it just condemning? Do you just feel bad about it? And you just feel, just feel bad about it. Not closer to him and withdrawn like Adam and Eve did because they listened to Satan. Okay, I'm moving through this quite quickly. Then there's the voice of the world. I'm not going to spend much time on that. But 1 Peter 2 verse 11 says, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. When last did you have a get behind me Satan moment where Jesus spoke to Peter and Peter was the voice of the world saying, surely you're not going to suffer. And Jesus knew he had to. He knew it was God's will. And he told him, get behind me, Satan. Matthew 6, Mark 8. Colossians 2 verse 8 says, be careful that no one takes you captives through hollow, deceptive philosophy, tradition, and the evil powers of this world. Be careful. So just again, if any of these things touch a nerve or, Lord, are you telling me something? Hold that. We can respond to that later. And then I want to speak about God's voice, about his voice. Three main ways he speaks to us. And I wish I had more time to elaborate on this, because you can speak about this for days. By his word, you will hear him. If you open that book, that's him speaking. People died for that book so many times. Thousands of people have died. It's the most valuable book, still the biggest bestseller in the world. That book is so precious. That's the one way he speaks to you. Godly leaders is another way he speaks to you. They will give an account to what they tell you. And the Holy Spirit's voice. The Holy Spirit's voice inside. And the more you get to know him, the more you will get to know his voice. God's voice will always be aligned with his word, with what's written in that book. It will always be aligned with it. It will always be rooted in love. The root of it, if it's God, will be love. It will bring truth, it will bring conviction, and it will bring freedom, not condemnation. Sometimes God's voice even sounds like your thoughts. Like, is this my thought or is it God's thought? And it's almost okay that, oh, was it me or was it the Lord? It's good to ask that question sometimes. Sometimes soft, but persistent, clear. It aligns with scriptures and it brings conviction, not condemnation. And the more you learn and hear God's voice, the more you'll recognize it. John 10:27, my sheep recognize my voice and they follow, they obey. It's for anyone. Like Samuel, we can grow in the knowledge of God and grow in his presence. God's nature is constant, guys. He doesn't change. The Bible is full of scripture about that. He's always the same. His word remains stable. It's one of those constants for us. You know, his call for our lives and the direction he puts us on might change. The relationship might grow and deepen, but his character, his nature stays the same. His timing is perfect. If you need to make a big decision, take the time to pray through it. Take the time to pray through it and then talk to the leaders you trust. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of our God lasts forever. His word endures. Even nature changes, but his word stands. It's steadfast. You can stand on it. The problem comes in when we don't really want what God wants. And we try and shape our world according to what we want. And that leads to confusion. Because we really want it, but it's kind of not aligned, and we try and make it fit. And then we end up with confusion. And then I don't know what to do. I'm just overwhelmed. Where it's actually a lot simpler. It's hard, but it's simpler. We need to stick to his word. See to what he's got. So when you consider a thought to be from God or not, and we get those, ask, is this consistent with what I already know of God? Is this aligned with the nature, what I've learned about the Lord? Of his truths, of his character, of his word. If it differs from that, it's probably not the Lord. Probably not the Lord. But do we know his truths? Because if you don't know his truth, you don't know what to measure it by. Again, that's why we need to be in the Word. Often if we pressurize to make a quick decision without counsel, wait, take a step back, be careful. Measure your idea with what God has already said. Numbers 23, God doesn't lie or change his mind. His voice will always reflect this truth. So I want to encourage us, will we seek Scripture? Will we seek his Word? Because we have changing situations, right? Life changes and we have things coming towards us. But will we seek his Word for that situation? Because you can apply his Word to any situation. You shouldn't take it out of context, but the truths you can apply. Do we even know our Scriptures well enough that we will know what the context is and what it really tells us? Because that's important. That's how we can make those decisions, to recognize that. Do we know his Word well enough to know his character? Because sometimes we find a truth, a real truth about God, and we're thrown, how can a loving God let this happen? How can this, you know? Because we have one idea that the world might have influenced about God, which is not his true nature. That's why we have to compare it to the world, to the Bible, sorry, to the Word. So if you, right now or in the past, have fear, turmoil, doubt, anxiety, it's a big one, hopelessness, what voices are you listening to? Are you more listening to your own voice or what the Lord says about you? If you're feeling insecure, or is it the deceiver's lies? Because he will set you up for destruction. And it won't look like that most of the time, but at the end it will be destructive. Will we turn to the Lord? The Holy Spirit is the encourager that comes alongside. Jesus has proven his love by how he died for us. We can trust his Word. John 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give you." That's Jesus speaking. Okay, it kind of says that in that translation. I'm reading NIV. "Peace I leave you, peace I give you." He wants to give us peace, real peace. It doesn't mean that it's all going to be comfortable or easy, but he'll give you true peace about what's happening, that he's with you and that you are in his will. So in closing, can we truly say, like Samuel did, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Is that what your quiet times with the Lord is like? Lord, speak to me, your servant is listening. It's not about learning a skill, really. It's more about a more intimate relationship with him and learning that, getting to know the Father's voice. His Word is available to us. It's right there in your hands. It's not like, oh, if I can just reach the Lord, get his Word. It's right there in your hands. It's that direct, it's that real. It's not hidden. It's accessible and it's alive. And I had to work this through a few days ago. If you feel, well, actually, maybe I'm not reading the Word enough. Maybe I miss a couple of days. Maybe I neglect the Word. And I don't know if I've heard him recently. I'm not hearing him that much. Like, I know what to do. I can do the church thing and say the right things. But in terms of a personal relationship, it's grown a bit stale, or I'm not really, don't know if I'm hearing him. You can do many things. I want to touch on two things. The one thing you can do is you can just stop it. You can go, no, I must read the Word, and you will block a time and become more disciplined, and I'm going to fix this. I'm going to read the Word. I'll just read more. I'll make more time. I'm going to push harder. The thing is that is the law. That's what the law, that's the law on you. The law is do this and live, do that and die. That is the legal point of it. Or you can talk to Jesus. You can confess to him, Jesus, you gave your life for me. I should be in your word daily. I know it's good for me. I know it's truth. I know it's you speaking to me. And I'm sorry that I neglect it. I'm sorry I'm not getting to know you better. I want to bring it to you, Lord. I want to bring it to your cross. And I want to repent of this sin. I want to ask forgiveness. I want to receive your forgiveness, Lord. I want to be reconciled with you again. I want this relationship restored. I want to be in a good position to hear you. Which one would you choose? The one as law, the one as relationship. Thank you, Jesus. Because guys, that is that second option, that answer two, that's repentance. That's repentance. So the question is, what is our posture towards the Lord? Will we treat Jesus like the way Saul treated David? Or is he truly our Lord that wants a loving relationship with us? So I want to ask us, could we commit to making space for God's voice? Could we commit to restoring those relationships, that relationship where we've neglected it, and we can not go, oh, this is the law and the word says this and we have to now push harder. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about restoring a relationship, drawing near to him, repenting to him, to be open to hearing him and to pray. Lord, thank you that you are gently drawing us because our Father is kind. You're gently drawing us into a deeper relationship with you to hear your voice, Lord. We want to be your sheep and we want to be good sheep, Lord. Jesus, will you respond to us?